Hello and welcome to the Shine with Sophie podcast. I am your host, mindset and life purpose coach, EFT tapping, NLP and time techniques practitioner, business and Spanish graduate, and most of all, the founder of the Shine with Sophie community, movement and soul mission. I am here to expand your mind, elevate your vibration, guide you to unlocking your true power and authenticity, connect you with your soul, and bring you the teachings, tools, and support to help you create a life and business in true alignment with who you are. Thank you for being here. I invite you to open your heart and mind while listening, and I'll see you on the other side. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Shine with Sophie podcast. I am so excited you have came to this episode because we have yet another guest episode, but another fire question episode. So yes, it is the beginning of another month. Welcome to a new month of 2023. And this today we have the special, the marvelous, the beautiful Maggie Pugh. We are recording this. You probably will not hear this till about March time. That's mad, right? You probably won't hear this till March, April. I'm trying to remember March. Yeah, March. March time. But Maggie right now is in Scotland with us. So as we record this, we are side by side touching each other in the flesh. That sounded so bad, didn't it? Sorry, guys. But I'm so excited for this episode because I don't know what the fuck Maggie's going to ask me, but here we go. We've also got a fire behind us. We've set the scene. We are recording this with video content, so you'll need to head over to Instagram and see what I mean by I have a fire behind me for the fire questions.
Ooh, so good. A real fire.
I would ask Maggie to introduce herself. I hope you know her. But if you are a new listener to the podcast and this may be your first episode you've jumped into, or you've maybe listened to some and you haven't yet met the business partner of mine. That was no English. It's been a long day. It's been a fucking long week. This is Saturday and Maggie has been in Scotland since Monday evening.
Tuesday. Yeah.
And it's been a very expansive, exciting, full-on week, right?
Busy week.
So our heads were a little mush. Periods are coming for both of us because we're in sync. So please excuse, but I'm sure you're going to really enjoy this episode. This episode is really intended to be a bit fun, you know, start the month off, the new month off, with a bit of excitement, a bit of fun, a bit of silliness, a bit of excitement, but also give you some education as well, give you some expansion and inspiration and whatever else wants to come out through this episode. But yeah, Maggie, if for anyone who may not have heard of you before, who are you? Why are you here? Why are you sat side by side with me? Why do I allow you to come into my house?
Well, that's a good question. I don't really know the answer to the last one, but I am a spiritual coach, psychic, tarot reader, medium, certified in past life regression. I just do a little bit of it all. Mm-hmm. Who knows, maybe I'll have added to the list.
Yeah, by March. March.
Really, that's totally possible. But you can find me over at Spring Moon Oracle. And yeah, I just do all that magical business. So that's me.
Love it, love it, love it. I will tag, is that the right thing? Like I will tag all your things.
Information
in the show notes, your podcast, your Instagram, so people can go check you out. Maybe your YouTube by then.
Yeah, hopefully. We have chance to find me on YouTube.
Let you out on a little secret. So maybe you can keep yourself accountable, Maggie, to make sure it's out by March.
I mean, it should be out by March. Like, I was hoping at least to have it out by February, so it better be out by March. You can go check our Scotland vlog.
Yeah.
Spiritual.
Yeah.
Gals in Scotland.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Other than that, now that you have synced into our fire energy, you've learned who Maggie is. If you don't know her, Maggie, it's over to you. I need to get myself comfortable because I actually recorded a fire question with another coach, Alexis Frey, which is February's fire question, if you haven't already listened to that, that was a fucking good one. That was a good one. Like, Alexis gave
no pressure.
No pressure. But Alexis, really, her questions were fucking good. They were real good. And even jotting them down, like when you listen to them, I actually encourage you to write these questions down and do some reflection for yourself as well. Because I want to go re-listen to the episode with Alexis and actually write the questions down, because when she asked them, like, I didn't know what she was going to ask me, so they were very, like, on the spot, intuitive, quick fire ones. Like, this is the also the intention is, like, it's fire, so it's like quick, go, let's go.
Mine are more business based, but I think that'll be good.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. A little different.
We want to be
much about business so much. Far.
Alexis gave a good variety, mm-hmm. I think, of different questions. So if you haven't already, go listen to that one after this one. Mm-hmm. Save it. Have fun with them. These are really, really intended to just be kind of a lighthearted listen. A mm-hmm. lighthearted listen. I love that. Okay, go.
Okay, so my first one is, what drew you to start your business?
Oh, no. What drew me to start my business? The one thing is just I knew that was what I was meant to do. Like, when I first, if you are a, like, loyal listener of the podcast, you've probably heard me say this multiple times, is when I first graduated from university, I knew in my heart, at that point, I wasn't involved with the personal development space. I didn't know what personal development really was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what coaching was. I didn't even realize it was a thing and that it even existed. But I also knew when I graduated in 2020 that I didn't want to go into a 9-to-5 job. I didn't want a job that I hated and that I felt unfulfilled with, that just drained me and just, like, I was like, I'm not spending 6 years of my life to go into a job that I fucking hate. Like, I'm not doing that. And especially because I had watched so many people just, like, waste away their life and not enjoy what they did mm-hmm. for a living. So I kind of, like, subconsciously was tapped into my intuition. I was, like, listening to my intuition at that point. And I was, like, putting my foot down, like, I'm not getting a 9-to-5 job, blah, blah, blah. I got into another job, which then network marketing found me as well, and the personal development world found me. And then I invested in my first coaching program, and it was a group coaching program. And I remember sitting on this call being like, why the fuck am I not doing this? Like, that, what she's doing, bringing people together from all around the world and just, like, supporting mm-hmm. people and getting paid for it. Like, that is what I'm destined to be doing. Like, it's right in front of me. Mm-hmm. Because when I first graduated, I was like, I want a job that I love, that lights me up, that I'm passionate about, that allows me to connect with people all over the world, that I get to have fun, I get to be myself. Like, those were the things that I was saying aloud and I was asking for and manifesting without even knowing what manifestation even was. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So as soon as, like, I was in that coaching experience, I was like, okay, right there, gotta do it.
How are you, like, being a spirit? This is not one of my questions, but I'm thinking of it now. You know, being a spiritual person myself, obviously, I think that we're very much pushed down these paths. Like, what was it that got you into this self-development? Like, what was it that made that switch, that it's kind of like, oh my gosh, if that hadn't happened, I may have never realized. And, like, I didn't realize how important this moment was to get me into that, you know, that self-development space. Like, what was that changing path, that changing moment, if you could think of it? Like, for me, I'm a very lucky where I have, like, a different story from you, but I very much realized I couldn't do a 9-to-5 when I got an internship and everyone was, like, living for the weekends, and I was like, this is depressing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do it, especially coming from a family, like, my mom is an artist.
Yeah.
She's always done what she wanted to do. My dad is, like, he loves math, so he has a really good job at a winery and he does all the accounting, and, like, he's called, like, the controller and he does all the stuff to, like, make sure everything gets out, but he loves his job. Mm-hmm. And so I've been very lucky that I've been around people who love their jobs. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit easier for me to think, okay, I don't want a 9-to-5. However, you know, some people I've seen who love their jobs love their 9-to-5. So it was just, like, me trying to figure it out. But there's also that moment of, like, when I started working at the crystal shop, that was very serendipitous for me because I just needed a job at the time for school. But that really started to change everything because I got so deep into my spirituality working there. And if it hadn't been for that, I'm sure maybe there would have been some other way, but that's the moment that, you know, I can think back of and be like, that was that changing moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering if you had one.
No, I think it was when I got introduced to network marketing, mm-hmm. and they really encourage personal development and expanding yourself. And that's when I started to, they hosted like live trainings every single week around like confidence and belief and everything like that. And I mean, it was pretty surface level compared to what I get into like now and like what I really dive into with my clients and the group programs that I've been in. But they, that was the first kind of stepping stone to learning this world. And I was seeing people building businesses and thriving in their lives and really enjoying the work that they did. Mm-hmm. That I was like, okay, if it's possible for other people, it's possible for me. Because I actually hadn't had that, like, what's the right word? Like, it's not validation, but like kind of
confirmation,
proof
expanders.
Proof, yeah, because my like parents, my mum hates her job and she's always hated her job. She's just done it and she hates it and she moans about it. And that's like what I've been brought up with. And then my dad's like a workaholic and I very rarely see him because he's just always working. So I feel like I wasn't given real empowering beliefs around career and life within like the career world, do you know what I mean? So then when I seen that proof that people can, you can actually thrive in the business and the kind of career that you have, and I think my soul and my heart always knew that, you know, and that's why it was so strong even when I wasn't completely tapped
you
into
just
it.
Needed the evidence.
Yeah So as soon as that just completely like opened doors and I was just all in with it. Like, it was just, like, I had, like, that full body knowing, like, this is where I belong, you know? And from there, just, like, doors just kept on opening and opening and opening.
So, this next question, I think, is kind of fun. It was, what was your hope and mission statement at the beginning of your business? And how has this changed over time to where you are now?
Ah, I love that. I think, like, at the very start, it was just, like, that vague kind of thing where I'm, like, I want to help people heal and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was anybody, you know, it was
you
absolutely
just wanted
anybody.
To be in the space somehow.
Yeah. I was just like, I want to help people heal and I want to help people grow and heal from their wounds and grow as a person. Mm-hmm. It was just that. But now, yeah, I still want to help people heal and grow, but it's on a deeper level where it's like, I want to help people that really, really tap into the depth of who they truly are and like discover who they are and like awaken their confidence and their authenticity and their power and why they truly are here in this world and step into that and allow that to not only change their lives, but the world, you know,
and the people around
and the people around them and the just everything. So it's just like having that major ripple effect on everything. So it's went from like, yeah, let's just heal together to like, let's fucking change the world.
And I think it's gone from like, you'll heal, you wanted to just like be in people's space and help them heal and like be a part of something, to now like creating something yourself. Like when you started, it almost sounds like you're like, I just want to be a part of this space. And now it's like you're actually carving out your own space and defining it.
Yeah, making my own unique space in this kind of world of coaching and mentoring and light work and kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love it. How are you enjoying these? Hopefully you can maybe like jot these down and reflect for yourself as well.
This one's kind of more just fun. I have some other like deeper ones, but I just thought this one was kind of fun, which is, if you had to pick another job, what would you do? Can you picture yourself doing anything else?
It's so hard because it's like, I'm here, like even like today Maggie and I hosted a workshop together with incredible women all over the world. We're getting to record this podcast, like I have so many different opportunities like in my hands. And only 2 years ago I was like dreaming of this, thinking of, how is this even possible? Is this even possible for me? And it's here, and it's like, it's actually extremely hard to think of any other way of living. Any other way. But I feel like, actually, you know what? I think Alexis did ask me this question. What I
I know
would
what your answer would be.
be like in hospitality?
No, I
I'm
think, well,
like,
maybe, but I like, you know, you can still be a business owner, but in a different way. Like, I could
yeah,
see you just like
cafe.
owning your own
Yeah,
cafe because
cafe.
I know
Yeah.
that's something
Yeah.
that's part of the larger plan,
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
that's part of the bigger vision as well. Yeah. So I'd probably, that's what I said, hospitality, but making it my own, but making it as a business owner in hospitality, because that was also all I kind of knew within the workplace. Like, when my first job, I had two jobs between the age of 18, 16 and 18, and they were both in hospitality. And then I left one of them and just committed fully to one of them and became a supervisor and team leader and whatnot. And from the ages of 16 till the pandemic, actually. So 2022. So when was that? 2012 to 2020. So 8 years. I was in like the hospitality industry, and I loved it, and I think it's really supported me in who I am and the confidence I have, the leadership skills I have that I'm like able to now expand and evolve. But before I actually like when I first got those jobs, I was really shy, I was really timid, and it was those jobs that really brought me out of my shell and expanded me. So I have a lot of gratitude for the hospitality industry. Like, I, as much as it's really intense, can I go on a little tangent here?
That's
But
okay,
in
that's what it's
short, yeah. But in
for.
short, yeah, I would definitely be running my own cafe because I love that. I love, and it also like allows me to interact with people because that's a big part of like who I am. Like, I always love deeper connection and interaction, and there's nothing I would hate more than sitting behind a desk like all day by myself. So yeah, but the cafe is happening, it will be happening, in the bigger vision. So yeah.
So I wrote these a really long time ago. So I
Okay.
don't know if you've already kind of talked about this one
Okay.
because I think I wrote these in October. But I put, what's the hardest thing you've had to overcome in your journey so far? And do you think it's something you had to face to get to where you are? You're like, these are so fun and silly. And I'm like, vroom.
What's the hardest thing I've had
Yeah.
to overcome? And like Maggie said here, like, I know, are you sure you want to talk about
We
it?
could not talk about it. It's
Yeah.
fine, but I put these a while ago.
What is the hardest thing I've had to overcome? What was the last
This
one I
is
said?
what is the hardest thing? What is the hardest thing you've had to overcome in your journey so far? And do you think it's something you had to face to get to where you are now?
The first thing that came to mind that is the hardest thing, but I can't decide if it is what had to help me get me to where I am now. Maybe in the future it will,
I
but
think
right now, where I am right now, I don't think that particular
had to
thing
happen.
had to happen.
I think it's refreshing to talk about it because I think we hear so much about how people went through these hard things and they're like, but it had to happen to get me to where I was. And sometimes things don't have to happen that way. It's just the way they did happen, and you can be grateful for where you are and where you're headed, and you can recognize that that was part of what got you here, but you can still wish it happened some other way. Like, some things, as much as we want to be love, light, forgiveness, and gratitude, like, some things just plain suck.
Yeah, and I know, like, are we talking like in the past like 2 years of just being intentional with personal development, or are we just meaning our life in general?
I think, I mean, whichever way you want to take it, I think would be great. Just this can be, yeah, your self-development, your business journey, your, or it can just be your like personal
I feel we'll
journey.
just keep it. I feel like we'll just keep it to the personal development journey, which is
Yeah.
like 2 years. Because I could talk about so many things.
Yeah.
I could talk about so many things that have been challenging, that have definitely played a huge role in where I am. And there is parts. There's so many elements of your journey that have to happen for you to experience the healing and the growth, to get you to where you are, where you want to continue to go. But for instance, like the past 4 months, like the last 4 months of 2020, 2022, I feel like had to happen, even though it was fucking sore. Like, a lot of shedding, a lot of fear, a lot of shame and anger came up, and I went into debt and I had to seek support financially from my parents. And I think that had to happen, and I'm still learning the lessons from it for sure, because it's still only January when we record this. But who knows, maybe I'll make a little intro before this in March to give you an update. But I feel like that had to happen for me to really, one, learn the support I have from people, from my family, that they do actually support this mission that I'm on, that this business that I'm creating. And I know that there's going to be a part, that there's going to be a time in my journey where they're going to be like, I am so fucking glad I supported you then. I am so glad I bet on you and I invested in you and your business because of where you now are. So I do believe there's really challenging times throughout the last 2 years that, yeah, they did have to happen. Some of them I'm learning why, still learning why they still had to happen. And something really, really, really personal happened in August. And there will be a point that I do open up and start telling, like speaking about it.
Do you think that was not, you don't have to talk about it today, but do you think that was the hardest thing?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
I think to relate it with business, I think it was hard because when it first happened, I was like, the first fucking reaction, the first thing I said was, my business is not going to survive this. And it didn't. Like, actually, from there, my business really started to crumble. Because that was what I projected, and that's what my subconscious was like reaffirming to myself. So that major kind of, that thing started kind of propelling like this tower moment, as you say. And we're still kind of rebuilding ourselves from that, but we are, and I know by March, like I am so excited to see where we are in March when this finally comes in.
Is that what you were talking about when you said like you don't feel like it had to happen that way? Or was that something different?
When did I say that?
You said, like,
I mean it.
You're like, I...
Sorry,
you said, there's something that's, like, really, really hard that I'm thinking about, but I still don't know if I'm at the place where I think it had to happen in that way.
Yeah, so that was that. So, yeah, that was that. I mean, like, it maybe didn't have to happen, but it was obviously meant to happen that way. Like, and it's what you believe to be true. And I know, I do know that there's going to be so many lessons behind it, within terms of relationships, within terms of, like, relationships with myself, with my business, with partners. Like, there's going to be so much, but I'm still learning that.
And I think that's a difficult mindset to come around to, but something, like, I've tried really hard to come around to and, like, become part of my natural thinking of, like, it didn't have to happen that way, but it did, so I need to move forwards. Right? Like, even this is, like, so small, but, like, even being here, I was so upset. We were in Edinburgh. I dropped my phone.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It shattered, and, like, right down the screen. It could have been worse, but, like, it was not really usable as someone who works from their phone. And, like, I could have, you know, and maybe an older version of myself would have let me, like, that ruin my day.
Yeah.
And it was, like, that was super shitty, but it happened, and there's no going back and changing it. So let's just move on.
Yeah.
Right. And, like, practicing that in small moments, I think will help you not necessarily, like, move on from these big things that happen, but realize that you can still move forwards.
Yeah. And I feel like with those little things as well, what I've kind of taught myself, like, see when, like, my car, my tires burst, or, like, something happens with my car or my phone or whatever it is, it's like, you can, like, fucking be so annoyed, but, or you can just be like, okay, this is just like a little mini test to remember that I have this support, I have the money to pay these things, like, we're all good. You know,
exactly. Okay, so my next question kind of goes hand in hand with this one, which is, what is the hardest thing you've had to learn about yourself? What did you expect from me, really? Like, you know the kind of journal questions I give.
What was the hardest thing I had to learn about myself?
About yourself.
In order to walk.
Just during your journey, like, you know, when you're doing self-development, sometimes, like, it could be the hardest belief that had to shift, or sometimes it's, like, coming to terms with something about yourself, being like, okay, finding that forgiveness for yourself and moving forwards, like just what's the hardest thing that you've almost had to just like face about yourself?
I think it's realizing that I actually have, like, it's, I think it's realizing that I actually have a closed off heart. Like, I love my heart. I think my heart's beautiful, and I think I have a special heart, but it also has been closed off to love, and in turn, closed off to so much more.
And I feel like you're learning to open it. Like, even with this
Oh,
latest thing you were just talking about, it was like learning to open yourself up for more, right? More than what you just expect is should be given to you, right?
Definitely. I think it's like realizing that I have been, and I still can really, really like not stand in my worth,
And or maybe it's sometimes just that like you do think you have such a special heart and you do think it's so amazing that like you it's like you how I'm losing my train of thought here, but like you think it's so amazing and so special that you're like, this is the way it's supposed to go because this is what I deserve. And because you're so focused on that, you're not seeing like what's lying just outside that's like even more. Because you're like, and you've been through like, with your heart problems as like a baby and everything, like you've had to protect your heart, so it's hard to open it because like you had to be like strong and protect it.
So I think it is realizing that is like that I can easily have a closed off heart, even though I feel like I am very open at the same time. And it's that kind of like realization that you subconsciously aren't open as much as you think you are. So that's one. I mean, there's probably plenty more.
So this one's back kind of to business, which is what do you think is next in your business and personal journey? What do you think you need to address and overcome, and where do you still have work to do that needs to be done?
Fuck's sake, it's three questions in one.
Yeah.
What's
It's just kind of
the
like
first one?
what do you think your next step is, and like what needs to be done in order to get you there and like addressed?
Oh. Yes, there was so much. What is my next steps in
Like, what do you
business?
need to do and address to get to these next steps that you envision for yourself and
Okay, so
business?
next steps are big things are happening. They've probably happened by now, the time you listen to this. So he's going to be doing in-person events, in-person workshops in Scotland. Get a flight, come join me.
Easy.
Come on. You know you want to. And I am working inside a very established business mentorship, as well as my own business. So really expanding, I guess, as a business coach, like I feel like I'm not that business coach that kind of helps with strategy and strategic planning and all that kind of thing.
It's more
Yeah,
energetic.
it's more about like really, really learning your power and your energy and who you are and what your voice is, what your authenticity is, like what is your place as a entrepreneur, and building that confidence within yourself, building that confidence within your voice and your self-expression and how you kind of show up as a leader and as a business owner. Like that's kind of like how I support people as a like business coach. So it's really kind of stepping into that role, yeah, because for I kind of put myself out there as that person, maybe like July, August time, and then things started to kind of crumble. But I think it crumbled because like I had major imposter syndrome. Like I didn't think that I could support people like who are like aspiring early business owners because I was still building my business. I hadn't experienced extreme success within my business. Like who am I to help people build businesses when I I'm still kind of quote kind of struggling at that point. So I experienced like a lot of imposter syndrome. So I feel like as I step forward, it's really owning that, knowing that I am destined to be like someone who supports aspiring early entrepreneurs and really like knowing that I'm capable of that.
What commitments are you going to make to yourself to allow yourself to continue expanding? Like to be open to expand.
Just as a person.
Yeah. And like in your business.
Yeah, I feel like it's just doing what I'm doing. Like I feel like I am a very I am extremely committed to my expansion. I think that is personally why I have propelled forward and I continue to propel forward because I do show up for myself every single day. Like I do commit like minimum an hour to me every single day and an hour to my healing and to my growth every single day. So it's continuing to commit to that. Also committing to working out, like moving my body. Like I was telling
you, we've been doing together.
Yeah, I was telling Maggie, and I don't know if I've spoken about this in the podcast before. I think I probably have, but like a huge limiting belief that I held was that I'm just not someone who works out. Like my body can't handle that because I have a underlying heart condition. I didn't think my heart could take it. It's like, this is like the belief that I created as a young person. And I just didn't allow myself to work out. And I had created, and I still feel it. I can still feel it in my chest. Like even the thought of working out, I'm like, that's scary for some reason. Like I have a huge like fear over it. But I have been really pushing myself to do more of it this past year, or like in 2022, I was doing a lot of yoga and then I started to do some Pilates. And then while Maggie's been here, like she's pushed me outside my comfort zone to actually work out with her. And even though like I feel safe around Maggie, like that is something huge for me because I don't like going to the gym. I don't like showing people like how I work out or think because I think I'm doing it wrong or whatever.
We've pushed your legs to the limit.
Oh my God, like, I can't even fucking walk, guys. But it's been so good. It's been so good. And like my energy has just exploded, like manifestations, because I'm vibrating at a higher frequency from the like working out. And it's such a small thing, but I think because like I wasn't allowing myself to experience that, to now be experiencing that, like something also has shifted inside of me. So I feel like just committing to working out like every
and
day.
Just open yourself up. And you know, that's probably a really good heart opener for you as well, because it gets that heart beating and going and that confidence.
And just like rising. Really putting myself out there as a leader, like not being afraid to like show up in the online space as someone who knows what they're talking about. You know?
Exactly.
Especially because like there's so many fucking business coaches, there's just so many coaches out there. And it can be really overwhelming and bring up doubt and fear that you are good enough and you're saying the right things and whatnot. So really just owning like what I believe in and what I share.
I love it. I love it. This
it.
One I feel like is just, I just wanted to know your answer to this because I'm just like, I just like to know these kind of
things. God, we've been going for, well, we missed it now, but we're going for 33 minutes and 33 seconds.
But this question here is, how do you feel about people who are not, quote unquote, living their dreams? Do you think it's possible for everyone to live their dreams and our society still function? I think about this a lot.
Okay. I feel like we all have the potential to live our dreams, but we... And other people's dreams. Some people's dreams are like just to be settled with their family.
And they don't care about their job. That's what I'm wondering. Like, do you think that, you know, enough of those people exist that like our society can still function the way, maybe not the way it does, but in like a sustainable way, and everyone still live their dreams? I feel like it's okay if you don't, but it's just an interesting question.
I don't really know, because like how are we to know, like how are we to actually know that without experimenting?
How about we find out? Maybe our answer is we're open to finding out.
Yeah, we're open to find out. But I also feel like some people are being brought into this lifetime to like not really experienced
to learn different lessons.
Yeah, they're just to learn different lessons. And I also feel like you can, like, not absolutely everyone is going to allow themselves to like open up to it in the one lifetime. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does that make sense?
And maybe sometimes they're here just to learn different lessons. Yeah. Their job doesn't really matter to them. Or like, yeah. I've asked people this question before when they've come to do coaching with me or do a session with me, where I'm like, is your work important for you to feel fulfilled? Like, yeah. can you be fulfilled with your like self mm-hmm. and like your life outside of work? Like some people, they're like, I just want to travel. I don't care if I need to work as a garbage man to make yeah, money. Like as long as I can make the money, like, not that there's anything wrong with a garbage man. I just personally would not want to deal with trash because it's just for me. But like, you know, some people might like it because it's outdoors and fresh air, but they're like, you know, I don't care if I have to, whatever I have to do, as long as like I make the money to then go and fulfill these passions of mine.
Yeah. But I also feel like people can live their quote unquote best life, dream life,
mm-hmm.
Without like really enjoying their job at the same time. That's because what I mean. Like their job is like not a part of
it's a means to an end yeah. to fulfill their other passions, yeah. right?
Yeah. But for us, our job is like a big part of who mm-hmm. we are, and mm-hmm. that's just what is for us. Like that's mm-hmm. what was destined for this lifetime for us.
I'd be miserable if I was behind yeah. the desk, and that's not and saying then, yeah. I don't like that for anybody else, but just like I need space.
But there's people who yeah maybe hate their job, but they still really experience fun and excitement,
love their life.
But then there's some people who don't. And it's kind of up to them if they open themselves up to experience a different way of living, you know. But we, again, can't force that. Would I like that? Yes, I would love them to. I would absolutely love them to. And that's why I'm doing this. And that's why I've created my podcast, and I'm doing everything I'm doing online to start reaching more people, to allow them to awaken and open themselves up to this, you know. Mm-hmm. But I also know that not everyone in this lifetime that I'm in is going to, like, open up to it. Does that make sense?
No, like it does.
Saying the same things.
It does. My next question is, how, this is more about like the coaching industry itself.
Okay.
It's a little interesting. I think we've talked about this a bit, but I just, you know, I feel like I'm just using this to be like, let me pick your brain. But this one's kind of a two-parter, so I'll give you half and then we'll do the other half after we chat a bit. But it's, how do you find comparison is fueled and used in the coaching industry, and do you think this is toxic?
Say again.
How do you find that comparison is used? Let me read it again. Sorry. I tried to go off the top of my head. It didn't work. How do you find comparison is fueled and used in the coaching industry? And do you think it's toxic? So like, this can be like you comparing yourself to other people, but I also find with some posts, it's used as a trigger. Like, look what I have. Like, compare my life to yours to trigger yourself into wanting to grow.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, look at how much money I'm making, or look at this.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, we got you. I got you, chick. I feel like what I have noticed in the 2 years, year and a half that I have been around the coaching world, that pain points in particular was like this big thing that
you should use.
Yeah. And no one will invest in you. No one will come to you. No one will want your support if you don't fucking talk to their pain points and speak mm-hmm. to them at this low level of where they fucking are.
And where they need to be going.
And where they need to be going.
What they're capable of.
And I think that's fucking bullshit.
this is what I want to talk about, because I don't use pain points all that often.
Yeah, there, it's good to like acknowledge and let create that awareness of where they may be.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can so that people can say like, yeah, that is kind of where I am, but I fucking want, yeah, that's where I'm going. We're going mm-hmm. over there, kind of thing. But I'm still working on this. Mm-hmm. I am still working on this, because I was first taught speak to the pain points, you know? So I'm still trying to learn how to activate people, you know, instead of like trigger people. Mm-hmm. It's like, instead of triggering people, activating them.
That's what I do. I try to be an expander.
Yeah,
not
be an expander
like
for them.
Not like someone, not a dominatrix.
Yeah. And I think it's how I personally see it is, like, if you're talking to people at this low level mm-hmm. and you're like, you're low on confidence, like you're not showing up for yourself, you're not committing to yourself, you and you're talking to that level, you're bringing them in at that level. And I don't want to bring them in. I don't want to attract people that are at that level. I want to attract people who are like, even if this is a coaching experience or a workshop or just in this space in general, I want you to be here and be listening to this podcast and be in my space fucking excited and like believing in yourself and full body knowing that you are so capable and worthy of investing in yourself and expanding yourself and healing yourself, instead of coming in at this level of like, yeah, like I'm so like depressed and I'm so like low in confidence and I really really need your help, I need you to fix me. And it's like, I'm not here to fix you,
I'm here to guide you.
Yeah, I'm here to guide you, I'm here to support you, I'm here to like guide you back to yourself, to relearn your power, to remember your power, to like step into who you truly are. And that's something that I'm so passionate about, because who I'm being now is who I've always been and who has always been inside of me. It was just kind of like covered by like projected fears and like subconscious programming and trauma and what's the right word, like in beliefs that I was kind of given and feelings that I was kind of given unconsciously from my parents and from like society. And by diving into myself from the past 2 years, I've been like, holy fuck, like this is who I am, like who I'm showing up as today is who I've always been. And the reason I feel so happy and alive is because I am connected to myself. So I feel like bringing people in at that level, talking to them at that level of like what is possible for them and who they actually are, will like their intuition, their heart will be like, yes.
I agree. I think it's so important as a coach to have your clients sign from a place of empowerment and like ready to better themselves, because then they're more likely to take the action and they're more likely to get results. If they're coming from a place being like, this person will fix me, then they're still looking for something to fix them that's outside of themselves, and they're continuously going to grasp at external straws before turning inwards. So I think, I mean, I knew we'd
actually
the same
like
time,
this one.
But
I like that one. I mean, it's kind of, we never really spoke about comparison as such, it's mostly that pain point thing. But yeah, I am slowly like funneling out this pain point. Like, I don't like it. It doesn't, and I think also, like, if you don't like it, if it doesn't sit with you, well, with you, and you are maybe a coach here, or maybe you are someone who wants to invest in yourself and you are feeling this kind of like, oh, I don't, or maybe you're thinking of becoming a coach, but you don't like the way in which people promote or sell their offers, and you don't feel comfortable doing that yourself. Like,
there's a space for you.
Yeah, there's a space for you, and know that you get to do it in your own way, you know, and you get to change the rules. We're here to be the rule breakers here.
And this is kind of leaning into the next question that, like, you also have to remember, like, coaches, most of the time, they're showing you their highlight reel.
Oh, yeah.
Even when they're showing you them crying and then going to feeling amazing, they're showing you that after they have gone to amazing.
Yeah.
If it hadn't gone to amazing, like, there's probably things that didn't work out that they haven't even shared.
Yeah.
Because they're just, or, you know, that video of them crying is from something else. And the happiness and everything is from, like, they're from two different events, because people do have the tendency, and I'm sure I've had problems with this before, and I'm sure Sophie, you've also felt the same, where maybe like you weren't feeling it, but you were showing a highlight reel of your life. Like, we do fall into this because sometimes it feels like what you have to do to inspire others make that content.
Yeah.
And so the question I had next to you is, do you think it's like, do you think the coaching industry has a responsibility to be truthful for this comparison's sake, so that you're not triggering people into thinking, wow, her life is so amazing and mine's shit? Like, do you think there is some sort of integrity that we've lost a little bit, and some of us are trying to refind, where we need to be truthful, like, for that integrity's sake?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like using the word try, but I do my best to share the truth, because I think it is important to stay in integrity. However,
yeah, like, where does that border lie, like, of what's personal to me and what I'm like I have the responsibility to share.
Yeah.
Because I think it's hard.
Like, for instance, what we were talking about earlier, like, there's a huge experience that I went through that I am going to share with my podcast family at one point, but I think it's important to, like, trust in what you feel safe to share and what doesn't. But as a coach and as a leader, like, you are a leader, I am a leader, it is my job to be in integrity, especially when people are investing in me. I have to be the embodiment of my work and be honest and truthful and not give this false image and this false hope of what is possible, because people are like, oh yes, like, I want that, like, I love that, and then they get into it and then they realize it's a fucking roller coaster, and you're like, bitch, you didn't tell me about all this shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's really important personally to share the ups and the downs, and, like, I openly tell you, like, I went in today, like, all of these things come up, like, it's like, I have a lot of fears, I have imposter syndrome, like, all this comes up, because I am also fucking human. Mm-hmm. I am human, but I think it's also important because people will be able to see themselves and me, and relate with me, and resonate with me, and be like, okay, like, let's try and get this out in clear words. If, for instance, somebody wants to invest, there's two coaches, there's a coach that is just constantly sharing their wins and their achievements and their goals, and then there's someone who's, like, sharing the wins, sharing the goals, but also
sharing the roller coaster.
I would personally want to invest in the person who's sharing both sides, because it shows me that they are, like, open to be vulnerable and honest with their people, mm-hmm. and share, like, the truth behind, like, how it is also possible, instead of this, like this kind of like, I don't know what's the right word to use.
I think when I see someone being vulnerable, I have a much deeper belief that they will be able to hold space for me during my low times, rather than just try to continuously light a fire under my ass. And I also think that they hold more space to be understanding of, like, my boundaries and what I don't want. Whereas not everyone, but I find sometimes if someone's just always showing their highlight reel, sometimes you can internalize that, like, you're always doing the right thing. And if I come to you and I say, but that doesn't resonate with me, I don't want to do that, I need a coach who's going to help me find a different way, rather than being like, you have to do it this way because this is what works. Mm-hmm. And I think that when I see someone being vulnerable, I'm like, okay, so they will be able to be vulnerable enough with me that they can admit that their way of doing things may not work for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I need someone to be able to create space for me, not just pop me into a little formula.
Yeah, exactly. And even, like, I obviously follow, like, coaches that are millionaires, mm-hmm. and I have this one specific coach, and I love her. I am so, like, so drawn to her because of the way she expresses herself. Mm-hmm. And she's this multimillionaire, like, such a successful healer, mentor, coach, who gets on her stories and fucking cries. Like, shows her audience that she is crumbling and she is crying. And I think that is so fucking powerful. Mm-hmm. I think it's so powerful, so brave, so inspiring. And it makes you feel safe to be in her space, because she is showing you that it's safe to be vulnerable. It's safe to really express yourself.
And we want to connect on a human level. Like, humans want to connect on that human one-to-one level. And I think we miss so much of that connection, especially after, like, COVID happened and everything went online. And especially the way that the world is now, where everyone works from home or works on a computer. It's like, we crave that human connection, right? And so when someone's only sharing their wins and they're not being vulnerable, it doesn't feel like a human connection, and we crave it. So yeah,
I love that line. I would love for you to let us know, like, if there's any questions you're like, oh my god, I want to tell you what I think of this.
Yeah,
please come over to Instagram, share, tell me what you would reply to any of these questions that Maggie's given. I want to fucking know.
I just have two more questions.
Okay, we're all good. Stay with us, please. So,
this next one is, how does imposter syndrome, like, kind of going off this idea of comparison, right? How does imposter syndrome play into how you show up online and with your business? And is there anywhere that you're currently feeling like an imposter that you're ready to claim?
I love it. Because you know what's funny? See, when I first started out and becoming like a coach and being a coach even, I did not understand what it felt like to be an imposter. Like, I remember from, say, for instance, like November 2021 to maybe like June 2022 last year, like, I had a friend that really experienced a lot of imposter, and I was like, I don't know how you feel that, like, I don't get it, because I just felt really on fire and connected to what
I can't relate.
Yeah,
I felt like an imposter my whole life, like, even before business. I remember being in my master's program, because I did my master's of English. I remember sitting in one of my lectures being like, I tricked someone in order
I
to
remember
be here.
You telling me that.
Like,
yeah.
I have had it so bad.
Yeah.
I do that, but sorry.
I don't know. Maybe I probably have subconsciously or not even realized it was imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
But as a coach, I didn't feel it for a while. And then it wasn't until I transitioned into being to kind of attracting more people who wanted to be an entrepreneur and start their own business, that's when I started to like come alive inside of me, and I was like calling in these people who wanted to build their business, and I was struggling within my business, and that's when I really started to experience it. However, in just the past few months, I have been experiencing it, because I haven't been in my own energy. I haven't been feeling extremely high vibe or like confident within myself, and I've been like I have been showing up,
and people are like, you're on fire, you're killing it. You were saying this to me, and you're like, I don't feel like I'm killing it.
I had so many people reach out and they always say to me like, you're killing it, you're smashing it, you're on fire, and I'm like, no, I am not. And I like, it may look like that, but I'm not.
I don't feel
that, because there were so many things within me and my life that were crumbling, that felt really fucking hard and really heavy. So the past few months, I have experienced high levels of imposter. However, I feel like myself coming out this other side, and I feel like I do my best, to be really honest and open and vulnerable with you guys, and let you know like what I am moving through and what is happening.
Are there any dreams that you have moving forward for your business that you feel like an imposter, like, who am I to have this dream, like, how am I ever gonna get there?
My retreat center, for sure. I'm like, that, I don't know, because there is that part of me, it's like,
that's so sure,
that is so far away, but that's so fucking inevitable at the same time. Because like, I am only going to grow, keep expanding, and my network's only going to keep expanding, and the fact that I'm here is a fucking like dream come true. So at the same time, it's like inevitable, but it's also like, holy fuck.
I have a prompt for you that you might already know, but I'm sure that some people listening to the podcast don't know, so I'm gonna say it.
Okay.
Which is, I always say, like, the best way to work through this, like, imposter syndrome is one of the things from the ego, right? It's one of the things that stops your manifestations. So I say, like, the best thing, it's not just, you know, when you're manifesting and they say, like, picture it. Now, what are your limiting beliefs that come up about why you can't have it? There's also a different way you can go about that with imposter syndrome, which is picturing that, like, someone came and said, like, some, you know, angel investor came and said, like, I believe in you, Sophie, so much, I purchased this retreat center for you. What imposter syndrome would come up? Like, it's not even about how to get there, but like, if you were gifted the actual role, you know, what imposter syndrome would come up? And that's what you need to work through. And that's the energy you need to start stepping into to actually attract it.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're subconsciously blocking. And I love doing that kind of prompt. So I would really suggest you guys to try it. Like, if someone literally gave you this role and said, I'm going to fund it, like, don't you even worry, I'm going to fund it. Even if it doesn't take off for 2-3 years fully, like, I'll fund it all the way because I think you have something magical to share and I have cash to spend. Actually showing up in that space, putting that like financial and like time aside,
mm-hmm.
as a person, like, how do you feel an imposter showing up in that role? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's really interesting. Because like, I am also someone who is like, it's okay. Like, I don't like taking from people.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's what's blocking you to receive as well. When you're not allowing yourself to receive from what others want to give you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a huge lesson for me. Like, allowing to receive support from my family mm-hmm. financially was huge because I was someone who was like, I got to do everything on my own. Like, I have to like be independent. So,
and if you want to create your business a business, that's a block you need to work through, because like fucking McDonald's or Sephora or like these big brands, like they have investors, like it's the stocks, right? Like if you want to become a millionaire, a billionaire, like someone who's just like has this legacy to leave with their business, like people are going to have to invest in you.
No, I know. I know. Exactly.
And so it's starting here.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And again, that's what I'm saying. Like, we are at the very fucking beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's what excites me. I was like, me and Maggie are still just at this very fucking beginning stage of growing a business. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, well, of course, it's inevitable that this massive vision will happen because we've still got so many fucking years.
And these are the blocks you need to work through, right? Like, you're going to work through these blocks now so that when you get there, it's fucking fire and you can work for the next one. You're not going to be dealing with this having to learn how to take from people when you're there, because you're learning it now, right? You're learning to let people invest in you and take a risk on you so that when it's like paying off, you're allowing investors to come in and you're working on whatever comes next to go from millionaire to billionaire.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean by like when you said about the challenges mm-hmm. and like, do you think they had to happen? There is going to be a time in my journey, whether it be next month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, where I'm like, that was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm now learning that lesson. Mm-hmm. Or I had, like, my business had to fall to the ground and I had to crumble into extreme debt for my family to support me, to allow myself to start opening up, to receive from money from other people because of like where I now am, you know? So there is obviously going to be points in your journey where when things happened and you really didn't want them to happen, there's going to be points where you're like, okay, I get why that happened, you know?
Exactly. So let's go with our last question. We can round it off. And this one's just more fun.
Yeah,
I thought it would be like a really empowering way to end the podcast. And it's, what is your biggest advice to start believing in yourself?
Okay.
I love when I get a good journal prompt or a good question. And Sophie goes, that makes like, me feel good.
Touch his my heart. And soul, like, oh, yeah. Feel that. Love it.
I was like, she's lost
what's my best advice to give them?
Yeah, what's your biggest or best advice to start believing in yourself?
Start believing in yourself is just to do the damn fucking thing. Like, you can do all the mindset work and like rewire, like
journaling
and like doing the EFTs, but until you take that fucking step mm-hmm. and to step outside your comfort zone and do the live or like mm-hmm. like invest in yourself or start the business or put yourself out there, whatever it may be, there is going to still be that lingering doubt.
It's that by the time this is out, it's going to be such an old TikTok and Reels trend, but it's that trend going on right now with, I think it's like the Euphoria soundbite where she's like, don't you feel stupid? And she's like, everyone feels stupid. Yeah. You just have to like do it and decide, or like you just have to decide not to feel stupid. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing. It's like everyone feels like I think everyone comes to a point where they don't believe in themselves or they don't think they're enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to decide, well,
it's walking,
fuck it.
Walking with the fear, walking with the fear and doing the damn thing mm-hmm. anyway. Like that. Is how I am here. That's how I have started a podcast. Like, I started a podcast as someone who didn't believe in themselves, didn't think that their voice was worthy, didn't think anyone wanted to listen to them, or thought nothing I said even made sense or like was even meaningful in the slightest. But the only way I've really, really experienced extreme growth within my confidence levels is by putting myself out of there, is taking the action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like leaning into that fear. It's not like waiting till the fear's gone and then doing it. It's like, holy fuck, this is scary. Jump in.
It's like, you can do all the meditation you want, you can do all the journaling you want, you can be in the spaces of like empowering people all you want, and as simple and as silly as this sounds, like, you can do, have all the tools and be with the right people and do all the things, but until you just decide to believe in yourself, nothing's gonna change. Like, you have to just say, why don't I just choose to believe in myself and see what happens? And maybe I'll prove, you know, maybe I will fail. Maybe it won't happen. Maybe I shouldn't have taken this risk. But until I just choose to do it,
something will come from it.
Yeah. Until I just choose to believe in myself, nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
And nothing's going to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know people like in this kind of space who have all these resources and tools and spaces, you aren't moving, are still really, really in that kind of box of disbelief within themselves, because they're not just taking the action, they're not deciding that they are capable of actually believing in themselves. Mm-hmm. And take it from someone who didn't believe in themselves. Like, confidence is a big part of the work I do, because I didn't have confidence in myself, and I am so passionate about helping people cultivate that confidence within themselves, that is what is literally within them right now, and it's waiting for you to unlock. It's waiting for you to decide and step up and lean into that fear and unlock the confidence that's within you. So that's my advice, is like, lean into it, stop waiting for the confidence just to drop into your lap, and just stop waiting for the fear to go. It's never actually going to go away. It's never really going to go away. It's always going to somewhat be scary. It may get quieter, and you may get more courageous.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Courageous before, like have the courage just to do it, and the confidence will come. The confidence will follow.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Well, I hope you enjoyed my questions. Thanks for having me.
Guys, please let me know if you enjoyed these episodes to kickstart your month off with a bit of fun, a bit of excitement, inspiration, laughter. Hopefully this episode made you giggle, made you laugh. If it did, please share it with a friend, share it with someone you think needs to hear it, share it to your stories, tag myself and Maggie in it. My handle is _shinewithsophie. Maggie, your spring loon
oracle.
Please, we'd love to see who's listening, who's resonating. If you want to share any kind of input to the questions, we'd love to hear those too. But I will see you next week for just like a normal episode, but then I'll see you next month for another fire episode,
and I'm sure I'll be back to this
the
15th time.
Thank you, Maggie, for coming on, sharing such fun, deep and powerful fire questions. But I love you all. Thank you for being here. See you later. Mwah.